John's Song, Chapter 2, being read by Peter John Parisi, also known as Brian Dean. The Hinghua Revival, that's Hinghwa, 1909 to 1913. Please pray for revival in Hinghua, was the plea of some friends in America from one of the missionaries in Hinghua. Two elder ladies took up this appeal and prayed through to an assurance that there would be a quickening work of the Holy Spirit in the Hinghua Church. They received an assurance that this work would begin on Good Friday, and they wrote to their friend in China to tell her so. But the letter was delayed and only arrived after Easter. Sure enough, however, the revival had already broken out, and it was on Good Friday that this had happened. The preacher on that morning had earned no reputation as an evangelist of any extraordinary gifts, but he was a consecrated man and one whom God could safely use. As he told the story of the Savior's passion, he himself broke down and began to weep, realizing as never before his own sinfulness. Conviction spread to the whole congregation, and soon everyone was on his face before God confessing his sin. Reconciliation and restitution followed. People who had been enemies for years became friends. A purified church became a witnessing church, and within a month or two, there were 3,000 conversions. Many new chapels were built throughout the district, and the churches of Hinghua were lifted out of their former coldness and formalities onto a new plane of Christian experience. This was the first time that revival had ever come to this church. John was present that Good Friday morning. He could never, all his life long, forget that sermon. Its theme was Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. The preacher graphically described this scene, the agony of the Savior and his obedience unto death, in contrast with the sleeping Peter and the other disciples. In his darkest hour, the Savior could find no sympathy from those who were his nearest friends. The fearlessness of Jesus in the face of his captors contrasted strongly with the treachery of Judas and the cowardliness of the disciples who forsook him and fled. The words of the preacher were like sharp arrows in the hearts of his hearers, who saw themselves portrayed only too clearly in Peter and Judas and the rest. They wept with remorse and the grief of true repentance. Among the mourners was Pastor Song's little 9-year-old son. His bitter tears, he tells us, soaked through the lapel of his coat. The events of that Good Friday were so evidently the work of the Holy Spirit that services had to be continued, and day after day, men and women sought relief and tearful confession from their burden of sin. Hearts were cleansed, and lives were changed by the hundreds in those wonderful days. John Song liked to attribute his first experience of the new birth to his great spiritual crisis in America many years later. But there seems to be little question, judging from all the evidence, that God began a good work in his life at the age of 9. If it is true that no man can call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Ghost, then undoubtedly the boy became a son of God by faith about this time. His life was soon marked by an exceptional love for the Word of God, an unusual desire to pray, and a passion to preach, which could scarcely be the fruits of an unregenerated nature. It was a feature of the general revival of more recent years to call in question all earlier experiences and to confuse the putting away of sin from the life with a new birth. Even after John Song's spiritual crisis in America, he once came to the front in a meeting led by Reverend Andrew Gish, that's G-I-H, after an address of a new birth. It was not clear why. One can only suppose that there was some doctrinal confusion which made him discount that evident work of grace in his heart at the time of the Hinghua revival. The news of the revival in Hinghua spread far and wide and brought people from all over Fujian, even from the large cities of Amoy and Fuchao, to see what was taking place and to share in the grace which was being so abundantly provided. Delegates even came from America to see this extraordinary work of the Spirit, which became known as the Hinghua Pentecost. The chapel became too small to accommodate the crowds, and a tent to hold 3,000 to 4,000 people was erected. Few went away without having met with God in a new way. What impressed John was that all this should be the result of the prayers of Christians in America. Those exciting and glorious days remained throughout his life the happiest memories of his childhood. After he became a famous preacher himself, it was always his prayer that the Holy Spirit of Pentecost might so rest on him that wherever he went, the parched soil of many hearts might become like gardens in springtime after the refreshing showers, just as in those memorable days in Hingguang. Pastor Sung was among those who experienced a fresh infilling of the Spirit at this time. The need for more prayer for his own family and for the church became a burden, and early every morning he used to climb a neighboring hilltop to be alone with God. His young son would follow him, and praying with his father, he learned to pray himself. Prayer became very real to the lad, and he experienced many answers to prayer. Communion with God became a joy, and both together shared the secrets of the Father's presence. It was not long after the end of the revival meetings that Pastor Sung became seriously ill with asthma, the result of a chill contracted in a storm that when he was traveling home from Funchal. As death cast its dark shadow over the home, Mrs. Sung, too grief-stricken to pray for herself, said to her sorrowful little son, "Don't cry. Quickly go and pray for your father. Prayer will be the answer." And prayer will be answered. In his desolation, the little lad went to his room and poured out his heart to his father. Prayer was immediately answered. The father made a speedy recovery and had no further reoccurrence of this complaint. How the family rejoiced at this signal answer to prayer. John could never doubt that God was both willing and able to hear the prayer of faith and to heal the sick. Even a later period of skepticism and backsliding failed to destroy the belief in the efficiency of prayer, which this and similar experiences have given him. Born again in a revival with a godly praying example of his father always before him, and with such outstanding experiences of God's intervention in human circumstances, it is little wonder that Jun Sung was such a man of prayer to his dying day.